Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and today we're talking about learning 9 languages in 30 months. So this is an experiment that I came up with that I want to try, that I'm in the middle of trying right now. So I'm a native English speaker with a reasonable understanding of Spanish. I used to be fluent a very long time ago, decades ago, back in high school. I had 3.5 years of Spanish, and I was pretty good at it, competing in poetry competitions and that kind of thing. Although I had never actually traveled to a Spanish-speaking country and tried to use it, right? So I had a good understanding back then. Decades later, I've lost a lot of that just from not using it as much as I should. So I would say I'm back to kind of novice at that on Spanish. And I've got a very, very, very super beginning baby understanding of Russian. I took 3 semesters of Russian in grad school, and it was very cool and very exotic. I love it, but I'll talk more about the languages in a minute. And I remember from that, like, almost nothing. Probably 5 or 6 words and the alphabet is all I remember from that. So this is where I'm starting from. And then I recently had taken a look at Vietnamese and picked up maybe 5 or 6 words. And that's about it. And some of the basics of the pronunciation. So I think languages are such a fascinating gateway into the minds of the people who speak them. I've always wanted to be fluent in multiple languages. At this moment, I am only fluent in English. And even that's American English. So I've got all sorts of excuses why I'm not fluent in multiple languages. So we could talk forever about making excuses and keeping yourself from doing the things that you want to do. You know, being fluent in multiple languages is really intimidating for Americans. And, you know, we look at people in other countries and they speak 2 or 3 languages fluently. And everybody does, because they learned it in school, because there is emphasis on that. And correct me if I'm wrong, but for example, in most parts of India, there's the local dialect, which you grow up speaking, and then in school, you're going to learn Hindi, and you're going to learn English, and you're going to be basically fluent in both by the time you get out. So you're fluent in 3 languages by the time you finish high school, which is amazing. So it's something that we are not given here. We don't make a priority in the U.S. So most people, by the time they get to college, are fluent in English and maybe know a little bit of something else. So the concept of reaching fluency in a second language, much less a third or a fourth or a fifth, is really super intimidating because we've never done it. I think if I had actually gotten to that point with another language, any one other language, it would be a little bit less intimidating. So I've got all sorts of excuses why I haven't put effort into this before, but here we are. I think that if I was fluent in a diverse set of languages, then I might better be able to see this oneness of the world and the universe that I feel. And I think by understanding languages, you get a sense of understanding also something about that culture that the language comes from, and the history. So I find it all very exciting and just haven't ever actually made it happen. So I'd also like to be able to read what people are thinking in other countries. There's huge chunks of the internet that are written in languages beyond English, and I guess I want some insight into that. I would love to be able to kind of have that superpower of being able to read a bunch of different languages. So that's kind of why I want to do it. And I suspect, and this is the part that's a real experiment, I suspect that there is some singular truth at the basis of all of our languages if I could just dig deeper. And I don't know what that is. And I don't mean that, you know, we all have a number 9 and tend to start it with a letter that sounds like N. I mean, although there's a little bit of that similarities between the languages, but I think there's probably something basic about how languages develop, about how we communicate with each other. There's something basic to humanity about language itself that I think I could learn if I dig into them, if I dig into multiple other languages, a really diverse set. So the thing is, language learning has never been all that exciting for me. Here comes one of my excuses. I decided to get back into Spanish because that makes sense because I'm the closest to fluency there, but or maybe pick up Russian again. But every time I would focus on one language, I would feel like I was missing out on the rest of the world. Like there's all, and this is always my problem. You know, I'm a kid in a candy shop. There's so much cool stuff out there that I could be doing, and I want to do it all, and I want to do it all right now. So that was a bit of a problem. So then it hit me. Here comes the crazy idea. What if I did the opposite of what normal, sane people would do? So normal, sane people would choose a language, maybe one that they already knew a bit of, and then focus on that one language until they got to some point of fluency that they felt was good, whatever they define as where they wanted to be with that language. And then they would choose another language and start working on the third language. And then, you know, focus on that until they get to a point of fluency that they define as success. And this is what normal, sane people would do. And then to not lose the first two languages while your native language and your first non-native language, to not lose those first two languages while you're working on your third one, you would try to keep tying it back to the first two languages, right? You would take a definition in your third language, but look it up in your second language to try to understand what it means, right? You always kind of draw those connections between the languages in order not to lose the fluency in the first two. And then you would build on that and build on that and build on that. And that is what normal, sane people do. So I thought, what if I did the complete opposite of that? What if instead of going one language at a time, I do them all at the same time? And I'm a really visual, spatial thinker. So that is, I do best when I can visualize what I'm trying to learn in a three-dimensional space, especially if I can see it as movement. So I conjured up this concept of a flashcard, because flashcards are great for me, for language. And this flashcard would have all the languages on it that I wanted to learn. English would be in the middle, and then the rest would be surrounding it. So I decided on a matrix. And I decided on a 3x3 matrix, because that would neatly put a square in the middle that could be English. And then that would leave me 8 other squares around it. Basically, it's a tic-tac-toe board. And I would have 8 other squares around it that I could put other languages. And if I always associate a particular language with that particular space on the matrix, like for example, the bottom right is always Hindi, then I think that could help me keep them all separate as I'm learning them. And right, and so that bottom right square would be completely devoted to Hindi. And then when I'm making a sentence, this is going to get really nerdy now. It's a vector that is going through those flashcards in the bottom right corner. So this was the idea, and it's completely insane. I realize that, and that's why it's so damn much fun. So that's the concept. I thought this matrix concept and focusing on one word at a time rather than one language at a time, focus on one word in all the languages might be more exciting and more fun. I love a good challenge. And this would definitely be a challenge. And so you're probably thinking, but if learning other languages is so intimidating and that intimidation is what has kept you from pursuing it, how is this not 8 times the intimidation? It is. And somehow it's just more exciting. Somehow it's like, it's so impossible that this is fun. So I decided to try it because there's no downside. And we'll talk about that, right? I cannot fail. So the way that I've set myself up for success here, right? Because I'm a big believer, one of my big rules, right, is to cap your downside high and let your upside ride. So what's the downside? Let's suppose I approach this and I, you know, somehow just don't ever manage to get more than, I don't know, some small number of words memorized. I still, at that point, have learned so much about these languages, so I can't lose. I'm going to learn something. And maybe, just maybe, I will become fluent in a total of 9 languages, including English, which is my native. I'm going to count that one. Okay, so the languages, which ones did I choose? So I chose my languages very, very carefully after a lot of research. So based on the use of the language, the content of that in that language on the internet, percent growth in the usage of that language online, because I want to study languages that are going to be useful to me. The number of worldwide speakers, because operating in these languages, I hope, will help me reach other people, lots of other people. So if I wanted to focus on languages that have lots and lots of native speakers, or at least lots of speakers, in the case of Arabic. And also a little bit of fun and personal interest. So here are the ones that I chose. So on the top row of my matrix are all of my European languages. So Spanish, because I was already at one point fluent in that and would love to get back. I love Spanish. There are hundreds of millions of Spanish speakers in the world and lots of amazing Spanish-speaking countries to go to. Then Portuguese, just because it's cool. And it's similar to Spanish, but I am starting at 0. Then German, which I recognize that the German population, hello Germany, is already, 98% online. So it's not gonna see a lot of online growth, but you do have a huge amount of German content online. So Spanish, Portuguese, and German, that's my top row, those are my European languages. Down in my second row, English is in the middle, of course. On the left is Russian. Love Russian. The alphabet, it appears very exotic, but there is a simplicity to it that I adore. Every letter makes one sound, and then to pronounce the word, you put the sounds together. Very simple. And that's it, right? So then you just got to figure out what the words mean and then take on grammar and all of that. So Russian. And then on the right-hand side of the middle row is Arabic, specifically Modern Standard Arabic. I chose Modern Standard Arabic because it's the one language that all people in the Arab-speaking world understand. Now, so a little bit of caveat there. There are no native speakers of Modern Standard Arabic. Most, from what I understand, please correct me if I'm wrong, from what I understand, people in the Arabic-speaking world grow up speaking their native dialect. It might be Iraqi Arabic, or it might be a dialect specific to Saudi Arabia or to UAE and different places. But then in school, they all learn Modern Standard Arabic so that they can converse across country boundaries with each other. So that's why I chose Modern Standard Arabic, because then I can reach the hundreds of millions of people who speak it, who understand it. I also understand, and again, please correct me if I'm wrong, that most newspapers, television stations, TV shows, and things like that do tend to be in modern standard Arabic. So if I was giving a speech in an Arab-speaking country, I would choose to speak in modern standard Arabic. Okay, so that's the middle row, Russian, English, Arabic. Then on the bottom row, I have my Asian languages. Mandarin, Chinese, specifically, for the largest number of possible speakers, and we'll be using the simplified characters just because, one, it tends to be most used these days, but also because I need all the simplification I can get in this process. So Mandarin, Chinese. In the middle of the bottom row is Vietnamese, just because I love it. And yes, I know there are a lot of other languages out there that have more speakers, and there are a lot of other languages out there that have more content online. I know that, but I adore Vietnam. I just adore it. I love it to death. And I spent a couple of weeks there and was just so taken with the country, with the people, that I want to learn to speak this language so very fluently. All right, and then lastly, in the bottom right, as you might have guessed, is Hindi. So the whole matrix is Spanish, Portuguese, German, Russian, English, Arabic, Chinese, Vietnamese, and Hindi. I love the diversity of the alphabets, which will help me, of the scripts, which will help me separate them. This will give me access to billions of people around the world and probably at this point trillions of pages of online content that I cannot currently read. Now, I'm aware that I've chosen some very exotic languages here and languages that may be considered the hardest to learn for an English speaker. But I don't like the easy path. So there you go. I like a good challenge. English, I've heard, is one of the hardest languages to learn, so I've already got that off the table. Based on the languages that I've already studied or dabbled in, I'm not afraid of exotic alphabets or tonal languages. So, you know, if we're going to do this, let's do it. I don't want to half-ass anything. Let's do this all the way. So I'm excited to see what kind of, you know, wisdom I can read in these other languages, and the kind of, you know, friends I can make in other countries. I love the challenge of this wide variety of tonal and non-tonal, logographic, alternate alphabets, right to left. Sometimes, you know, in Arabic we're going to write from right to left, and the others we're writing from left to right. I love the massive diversity of it. So, no fear. Should I fail, I am still better off than I am now with some new insights to share. Should I succeed, that would really be something. The sky's the limit. This was a really, really hard decision to make. So in the end, I had to leave off because I only had 8 squares for non-English languages on this matrix. In the end, I had to leave off Italian, Tamil, and Malay or Indonesian, which I was all very tempted to those, but the space was limited. So if this goes well, then I think I will have really learned something about learning languages as well, and I can go back and pick those up. Okay, so the method. I'm going to learn one word at a time. One word, memorize the matrix, that one word in all 8 languages, and go one word at a time. So it'll be slow going, especially in the beginning. I assume it'll kind of get faster as time goes on and I pick up more with these languages. I don't think it's linear. I think it's probably not exponential either, but maybe it's quadratic. I don't know, for the geeks out there. So initially I thought that I would have a list of the 5,000 most commonly used words in English and then translate them into the other languages, and I thought that would do nicely. I thought I would go in order of frequency for each English word, but here's the problem. That's going to take too damn long, and not there may be a lot of words that are in the 5,000 most frequently used English words that are of no use to me. So if I want to get to a point of real utility by the fastest possible route, then I'm going to have to focus on words that are going to be specific to my expected situation. So this is when I really started paring it down. So the ultimate goal is this: to travel to another country, navigate the airport, get a taxi to the hotel, check in, sightsee around town a bit, enjoy some time at a coffee shop, that means ordering food, coffee, meet the wisest people of that region and seek their advice on life and being human, give a speech / concert in that language, take questions and give answers in that language, and do meet and greets in that language. So this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be capable of. This is what I call, for me, success and fluency in that language. So this gets me down to very specific subject matter. So travel words, right? Words and phrases you need for travel, for ordering food, for getting around town, airports, taxis, hotels, restaurants. And then very subject-specific words on the types of things that I write about, that I research, and that will be those will be the subject areas that I kind of start to work on. So it makes it very topic-specific, which is going to help really narrow it down. But regardless, I'm going to focus on one word at a time rather than one language at a time. And I hope to see, by doing that, what's common amongst how we talk to each other and how we develop language. So I just feel like there's something underneath it all that I can figure out. So other than straight up memorization of words, I'm also going to have to do some work on alphabet, pronunciation, sentence structure, and grammar. Now, alphabet and pronunciation will come along word by word. So at this point, I am 16 words in. I have and, or, yes, no, peace, joy, and the numbers 1 through 10. And what I found is that instead of trying to just sit down and learn the Arabic alphabet, it's much easier to learn the words and the alphabet will come. And that is working, and that's working. So for Arabic, for Hindi, for Russian, for non-Latin alphabets, but also for Vietnamese, where it's a Latin alphabet, but it's notated, which actually makes it harder. it's coming along. So I didn't need to sit down and learn the alphabets first. The alphabets are coming with the words, and the pronunciation is coming with the words. So grammar, I am going to push off. Sentence structure, for the most part, and grammar, I am going to push off until I have several hundred words under my belt. And then I'll worry about grammar. Why? Because grammar is terrifying. I'm so bad at grammar. It's ridiculous. And so I do, and you, I know, negative self-talk and all of that. But I understand that that grammar is a skill weakness for me in foreign languages. So I'm going to push it off so that is not to discourage myself up front. I want to get some success and then approach the grammar. And at least try to get it reasonable. So meanwhile, I can listen to each language while I work out. I've got an app called MyTuner. It's free. It's awesome. You can pull in radio stations from any city in the world, in any country. So I like news stations because they tend to speak more slowly. But I also like music stations because you get a sense of the culture and it's just sort of fun. So that was kind of my plan. So to listen to it, I can look at reading news websites once I get up to a certain level of proficiency. So when I first started looking at the alphabets, I was massively intimidated. I'm like, what have I gotten myself into? Just feeling really upbeat all the way through Spanish and Portuguese and German and Russian because I've seen the alphabet before. And then I hit Arabic. I'm like, oh, only 28 letters. cool, I can do this. Oh, but each letter has four different forms based on where it is written in the word. Oh. So, really there's over 100 letters is what it really is. Wait, what? Oh, and there's no separation between the letters. One just runs right into the next one. So I'm sitting there just thinking to myself, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Let's go look at Chinese, right? Each syllable has a character and a pronunciation based on Mandarin. There are thousands of characters. Yikes. Okay, so I could not approach this from an alphabet perspective to say, okay, let's just learn the symbols. Let's just learn how to pronounce the symbols and then, right, no. Because if I was going to start that way, I was never going to get to the end. So that's when I decided to abandon the alphabets and just try three or four word matrices, right? Let's just put a matrix together and see if it's possible to actually memorize it. So the better idea came to do a proof of concept, right? Because there are a lot of assumptions here. The largest being that I can actually memorize a matrix of words rather than a single word and actually recall the words separately by language later. So I needed to prove that to myself, that I could do that, right? So if I can learn one word matrix and then recall it the next day, then I can learn one more word matrix. And therefore, by induction, for my math people out there, I can learn thousands of words. I can learn tens of thousands of words, right? If I can just learn one, then I can learn one more and one more and one more and one more, and there's not going to be any stopping. So I chose to start with the word yes. A little psychological trickery, right? I wanted to start on a positive word. I assumed that yes would be a really simple word, and yes went so well that I decided to throw in no and add that one in there. I wrote each matrix out. I made sure that I understand the sounds that each letter was making and the overall word pronunciation in each language. And then I wrote each matrix 17 times. And 17, which is interesting, I didn't intend to write it 17 times, but I kept writing it over and over and over and over and pronouncing it. And that just happened to be, 17 is when I happened to run into writing fatigue and mental fatigue. Yes, it's an amazing coincidence. 17 is my lucky number. So I take that as a really great sign. But a few hours into the next morning, I took out a different notebook and challenged myself to write out both matrices for yes and no, and I was able to do it. I remember them both correctly in all eight languages, and I started to understand the alphabets along the way. So this is not so scary. This is going to work. This is going to work. And as I said before, at this point, I am 16 words in. So even better, this is fun, and it's interesting, and it's exciting. This is the whole world in every word. And that's the motivation that I really needed. So my goal is to get to sort of a basic beginner competence in all eight languages by October 1st of 2020. Why? It's good timing. My youngest will be in college at that point. I'll be doing a lot more traveling and a lot more sort of getting out there into the world and helping people. And it would be a wonderful time to have these languages ready to go. So there we go. I will have basic competence in all nine languages in the next 30 months. So I'll keep kind of reporting back, but so far, this is going to work and it's pretty exciting. So inside of this experiment is a bunch of stuff. It's number one, getting over fear. Facing the intimidation factor. In fact, inviting and embracing the intimidation factor. The only thing standing between me and fluency in these nine languages is fear, right? Is that inner critic that tells you you can't do it. And believe me, mine is there. And I don't know where it comes from, but it needs to shut the hell up. And that's what I told it. I have told my inner critic to F off I don't even know how many times during this exercise. This is an exercise, not in language, it is, but it's an exercise in silencing the inner critic that keeps you from doing great and amazing things. Because I've already proven to myself that I can do this. So I'm going to do this. So it's about silencing your inner critic, who will keep popping up, I'm sure. Just wait till I get to grammar. It's also about doing the things you've always wanted to do. It takes me a couple of hours to do one matrix. And if I did this full time and this is all I ever did and I didn't do anything else all day, every day, I'm sure I could get there a lot faster. But if I can, putting 2 hours a day into it is about all I can manage. Sometimes I am busy with other things and I have to push it off to the weekend and try to do, you know, like 5 words in one weekend, which is possible, but I've noticed my learning is not that great that way. That daily consistent effort is the key. So this is also an exercise in daily consistent effort. That's daily consistent effort in silencing that critic in your head and daily consistent effort making your dreams a priority. And if you keep that up, then you can do anything. So hopefully this is an example to everybody else. Not that you all need to run out and try to learn 9 languages at one time. Although if you do, let me know, because I would love to have a buddy for this exercise. If you are a native speaker of one of my languages, Spanish, Portuguese, German, Russian, Modern Standard Arabic, Chinese, that is Mandarin, Vietnamese, or Hindi, let me know. I'm going to need some help, especially when I get to trying to put more complicated things together. I could use some practice speaking with someone. But anyway, let me know if you want to join me in this fun. So hopefully this has been useful to you. Thanks for joining me, and we'll see you next time.